Next case we'll hear is Matson versus Alarcon and Mr. Perkins.
Good morning. May it please the court, Chris Perkins on behalf of the appellant Bruce Matson, who is the liquidation trustee for the bankruptcy estate of Land America Financial Group, Inc. We're here today, Your Honors, on direct appeal from the July 14th, 2010 order and memorandum opinion of the Bankruptcy Court for the Eastern District of Virginia, which overruled the objections of Mr. Matson as trustee to the proofs of claim of about 125 or so former employees of Land America. The trustee's objections that the court overruled sought to modify the amounts of the employees' claims to the extent they asserted priority treatment under 11 U.S.C. section 507A4. That's the subsection of the priority section of the bankruptcy code.
Well, the long and short of it, if a severance is earned during the 180 days, it's an administrative expense and it enjoys priority, right?
I think administrative may be a slightly incorrect term to use,
well,
but
it enjoys priority
if it's earned. That's exactly right.
During the 180 days.
During the 180 days.
The question is whether the severance was earned as a lump sum benefit or whether it was earned on a prorated basis.
That's exactly the issue, Your Honor. And this panel must be the statutory construction experts, given the last argument that we heard, because this is another statutory construction question. How is severance earned under that statute? Is it over time or is it when you're fired? Now, the trustee respectfully submits it's the former. It's over time in this case.
Except that in what the severance provision provides, you read how a severance is earned. It's earned by, number one, termination without cause, number two, conditions on reemployment, and number three, signing a release. And in that case, you get a full severance benefit.
Actually, what I think Your Honor is referring to is the eligibility section of the plan.
I'm talking about severance benefit, definition of the severance benefit.
In the plan itself?
Yes.
Yes.
And you earn it that way. And you earn it. You have to be terminated without cause. You can't quit. You can't die. You can't have a heart attack. You've got to be terminated without cause to earn the benefit. You've got to not work under certain conditions as described. You've got to sign a paper. And then you earn a lump sum benefit. Isn't that right?
Actually, Your Honor, I have to disagree with you.
The lump sum can be done at the discretion. It can be paid in installments. But but you earn the benefit, meaning you're entitled to that benefit only on those conditions.
Entitlement and earning, Your Honor, I respectfully submit are two different things.
Well, except the dictionary says earn, you become entitled to. One of the definitions.
One of many definitions.
But you don't earn a severance on a weekly basis.
Well, that's exactly
what... You can go 20 years with the company and quit, and you get nothing, right?
That's true, okay. Because you're not entitled to it because you quit, because you didn't meet one of the eligibility criteria.
I thought it was kind of strange, your position. Seemed to me, I was trying to figure it out, that the longer you work, the less you get. The way you work it out.
Sure,
the trustee works it out, the longer they work, the less they get.
That's true in this case, because of, Your Honor, the way the plan, the severance plan, that this company drafted.
The way you're
not
doing
necessarily.
It.
Not necessarily. If
have
you
were
say
a
lump
severance
sum,
plan, have you ever seen a severance plan that gives you less for longer pay?
If
they're always
if
conditioned on how many years you've been there.
That's not true, Your Honor. That's not true. The cases discuss the different types of severance plans that have been considered. Some are based on length of service. Some are simply in lieu of notice. Here is a lump sum $1,000 when we fire you. No component of time at all. You don't earn it over time. I don't care how long you've been here. I hire you today. I fire you tomorrow. You get $1,000. That's your severance benefit. That is a type of severance plan.
I understand, but you're sort of suggesting the fact that the how the severance is calculated, the lump sum is calculated, is somehow makes it earn over on a day-to-day basis. And the fact of the matter, you earn nothing. You've got to be, you can't quit or do anything else even beyond your control. The only thing time you earn a severance is when you've been terminated without cause and you meet the other conditions, which is signing the paper and not looking at competition.
I think that that view, and that's certainly the view that the bankruptcy court took, is contrary to the language of the very plan in this case, which talks about lump sum. It's contrary to the case law. There's only two cases out there.
So let's look at the language.
Sure, let's do that. The plan is at 325 of the joint appendix. And the relevant provisions are at pages 330 and 331. You've been citing to me the Article 2 participation and eligibility requirements. I would submit to the court that the
Looking at 330.
330, yes, sir.
Eligibility
requirements.
Requirements is for severance. The employee is terminated by the company for reason other than cause. Right?
Yes, sir.
Employee signs a severance agreement and release form, and none of the circumstances in 2B exist.
Right. These
are conditions. Now, if those conditions aren't satisfied, you don't earn it.
That's not what it says. That says you're not eligible to receive the benefit that you have already earned for your length of years spent with the company. It's a timing of when the payment becomes due. You're not eligible, and that's what it says, eligibility. Judge, you won't find the word earned on this page. This says you're eligible for having spent 20 years at this company, earning severance over time for your years of service, according to our plan. You're now eligible to receive it the day I walk into your office and tell you you're fired. Eligibility, not earning. Otherwise, Your Honor, the whole point of the second page on your benefits is useless. And that's exactly what the bankruptcy court said. I'm ignoring this plan, is what the court said. It doesn't matter. I'm going to treat this like a in lieu of termination, $1,000 lump sum payment. I don't care how you calculate it, how you earn it. If it falls within that period, you're going to get your priority. And that is not consistent with the plan. It doesn't look at
this.
Yes, sir.
A person has a heart attack during 180 days and has to quit. That person hasn't earned severance.
No, he has not.
He was at work 20 years ago.
Right. He has not earned it.
And the person next door to him is let go without cause. And he gets a lump sum severance.
He does. One of them was not eligible, and one of them was. Besides the plan, Your Honor.
The distinction, though, that it's the action that the employer takes defines whether you're eligible. Isn't it? I mean, that's triggering event.
That's
the action
right.
of the employer.
That's okay. right.
Not how long an employee has worked, because under Judge Niemeyer's scenario, it couldn't be.
Right.
So the action that the employer takes, if it's within the 180 days, why isn't that the defining event?
Because it's to earn requires the employee to do something to provide a benefit to the company. Keep in mind, we haven't even gotten into this yet, the purpose of the code section. We're not trying to deny anybody severance here. They're getting their full severance pay, okay? It's whether that portion of it gets bumped up to a priority status. This is a critical that the court understands it. We are not saying these folks don't get their severance. They're all getting their full severance claim allowed as a general undisputed claim. The question is, when do we allow some of it to be bumped up ahead of other folks and become priority? And that is critical to the court's analysis because the bankruptcy code is all about fairness and equity to employees. You treat all like employees equally. If you're going to give one of them a preference for certain reasons, such as the priority statute does, you can only do it where Congress has clearly said these employees are going to get a special benefit. And in this case, they said only those folks who earn it within the 180 days are we going to give this special benefit. Meaning, what did the employee do, to your point, Judge Keenan? The employer controls the eligibility by doing the firing, and that sets the timing of the Wednesday. But what did the employee do to earn that benefit in the 180 days such that he ought to be elevated to a priority status? Well, what did he do? He came to work, and he worked every day. He worked every day in that 180 days, and he earned by his labor
and his stress. He worked for 20 years.
And that's right.
But he didn't control the severance. The employer controls the severance.
Employer controls the timing of it. That's correct.
Not the timing, the conditions.
And the conditions for it, sure. You can say that too.
It's totally in the control of the employer, and if the employer pulls the trigger in 180 days, it's the employer that is triggering the severance. The calculation of the amount is based on the longevity of the business.
Well,
but that's still defined by the employer.
To take that view of it, Your Honor, is to, I think, ignore the plan, ignore the purpose of the bankruptcy code, and the reasons for having priority, elevating an unsecured claim to priority. It also ignores the only case law we've got in this country on this topic. And the bankruptcy court recognized that.
Didn't
because
the Second Circuit come out with a pretty good opinion on this?
Unfortunately, it didn't. The Second Circuit's case law deals with 503 administrative claims. And, Your Honor, you used the word administrative in your very first question to me. And I don't want the court to be confused about the distinctions here. 503 and 507 are two different parts of the bankruptcy code. The Second Circuit case law, which the bankruptcy court says is the minority opinion, deals with 503 analysis. Those are claims for work provided post-petition, services
but
post-petition.
But doesn't it treat severance pay? I mean, it's doesn't matter whether it's under 503 in the manner or way it treats severance pay.
It does matter
Severance benefit.
It does matter which statute you're looking under because of the priority scheme. That's an even higher priority, administrative benefits. So when you're looking under 503, and the Second Circuit says, okay, you're fired under 503, I'm going to give you
priority. What it says. It says severance pay is not earned from day to day and does not accrue so that a proportionate part is payable under any circumstance. After the period of eligibility is served, the full severance pay is due whenever termination of employment occurs. Since severance pay is compensation for termination of employment, and since employment of these claimants was terminated as an incident of the administration of the bankruptcy estate, severance pay is an expense, etc.
Are you quoting the Strauss case?
I'm quoting the Second Circuit, yes.
Yes, and then as it says in N. Ray Yarn, the majority of courts disagree. The Second Circuit is a minority opinion.
I understand, but what's wrong with that analysis? The fact is they say it's not earned from day to day. It's earned when you are terminated without cause.
Because
there's a benefit that relates to that.
Because that analysis ignores the plan and the agreement between the employer and the employee. It ignores the purposes of the bankruptcy code.
The plan says that you don't get the benefit unless you're terminated.
All of the cases analyze the specific language of the plan. Is it a length of service plan, or is it a due upon termination in lieu of notice? Like I said before, the hypothetical of, I'm going to pay you a lump sum amount when you're terminated, regardless of how long you've been.
We're going to give you $1,000 on your 40th birthday, on your 50th birthday.
Okay.
And the 40th birthday occurs during the 180 days.
Right.
Get the full $1,000?
Sure.
How about if the 40th birthday benefit is $1,000 if you've worked 1 year, $10,000 if you've worked 10 years, and $2,000 if you've worked 20 years?
Okay.
You have a birthday during the 180 days. You get, and you've worked 20 years. You get $2,000?
Sure.
You don't get the prorate amount?
Not in that circumstance. The plan says you work these number of years.
Right.
And we give you a lump sum
amount
on this date.
Right, that's what severance gives, lump sum
on
this date for.
You're working your way on the spectrum towards the plan in this case.
Well, let me ask you, weren't there two claims that there were independent contracts?
There were, Your Honor.
How does that figure that out? It's a red herring, Your Honor.
It doesn't impact the court's analysis. There are 125 claimants here. Mm-hmm. The severance plan and the objections by the trustee were sought to apply to those employees covered by the plan. If they were covered by an individual employment agreement, they shouldn't have been in the objection. That was the case of Mr. Miller, so we cut him out. So,
what is the benefit for? What is the severance benefit for?
The benefit is for service to the company over time. And
I don't think that's fair.
for the...
Because a lot of people serve and don't get it.
Well, and to help the employee upon his termination. It's a voluntary benefit. The company says, we recognize firing you is going to work a hardship. We're going to give you
benefits.
We're going to give you a benefit for you having given us a benefit over the years. And the longer you work, the more you earn.
Except that's not, everybody doesn't get that. The severance benefit is a benefit for termination of an employee.
Correct.
Isn't that what it is?
Sure. That's
and only the employees who are terminated without cause.
That's right. But how much they get is determined by how long they worked for the company and how much they earned over time.
But on my happy birthday benefit, they gave me the full
$2,000. And again, the critical analysis is what does the plan say? And you look at all the cases. You look at the Yarn case, the Russell Cave case. You look at the Dornier case, 7th Avenue case. They all say, all right, well, let's look at what the plan was in this case. Did this plan talk about earning it over time? Or was it just, let's give you some money when you're fired? And that's what Yarn said. Look closely at Yarn. It talks about the majority rule and how severance is earned over time when you look at the meaning of the contract with regard to severance pay. And if the bankruptcy court is going to completely ignore that entire section, then you're not being faithful to the plan.
Well, Yarn's a bankruptcy decision just as our plan. And this is
it is.
Is a bankruptcy.
That's right.
And they each read their benefits. So.
They did. That's right. That's right, Your Honor. The other last point, and I only have about 30 seconds in my initial opening here, Your Honor, is that we just have to look at plain language. How do you earn wages? You show up and you work. At the end of the day, you've earned them. How do you earn commissions? You have to work, and when a deal closes, you get the commission. How do you earn severance? In this case, in this plan, the plain definition of earning would be every year I show up and I earn another week. And when the eligibility criteria hits and I walk into the employer's office and he fires me, I now become eligible and I can now receive my contract.
So you've earned something. The employee who quits because of a heart attack has earned something he never gets.
He never met the eligibility requirement.
Well, I understand. The benefit wasn't for him.
Well, that's right.
Benefit was for termination. So you suggest he earns it over the years. He can't earn it. If he earned it over the years, he'd get it.
Well, I think there's a difference between earning it and receiving it or being eligible to get it or the triggering event, as you use that term, triggering. You can earn it and never get it. I've earned my 401k plan.
I'm suggesting to you that entitlement would be a better term for earn in this context because the question is whether you became entitled to it during that period.
And unfortunately, Congress didn't use that. They used the word earn.
Well, that's included in the dictionary definition of earn.
I understand. Thank you, Your Honor.
You don't think Congress is fully aware of the dictionary and all its meaning?
Well, I would hope so, but we wouldn't be here today if there wasn't
no
question.
No, I understand. And I understand your point fully. And
okay.
And it's a strong point. And it doesn't resolve at all. Try to give your colleagues heart of time.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Gart.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Joshua McCarcher appearing for the represented appellees. I'm here today with my colleague, Michael Baxter, who is on the brief. Your Honors, it sounds like the Court is intimately familiar with the terms of the plan, the code.
How come the Second Circuit's a minority court?
You know, in that case, I don't know why, to be honest with you, Your Honor. I hope one day I can be back here arguing in the post-petition context, and the Fourth Circuit will join the Second Circuit and have a reasonable application of severance pay, both in the post-petition and pre-petition context. I think the Second Circuit's analysis is very straightforward and common sense and matches how most people would
and
think.
I kept pummeling your colleague here on the earning on the qualification of a severance. And the one aspect of it clearly is that you have to be terminated without cause.
Right.
But the other aspect of it is that you have to put in your time.
That's correct. In this case, you do. But what's amazing to me is we have those two sheets open to us. The left side gives the eligibility requirements. That is much a part of the plan. As much a part of the plan, you have to get through that gauntlet that Your Honor walked him through before you ever even go to the table that sets out the years of service equals this many weeks of severance pay. So you don't even calculate anything until you've made it through the gauntlet of the eligibility rules. So in this case, the calculation is just a calculation. That's all it is. In another case, it may say, well, you know what, if you evaluate employees on a 1 to 5 scale, and last year you got a 1, we're going to give you $1,000. If you got a 2, we're going to give you $2,000. You can come up with many, many ways that a person would earn severance at the moment of termination after signing a release, where it would be calculated in that way. But none of them impacts the definition of the word earned, the word Congress chose to use, and when it is earned is a matter for this court, it's for the federal courts to determine when something is earned. How it is earned, how it is calculated, is another matter. The bankruptcy court did not ignore the terms of the plan. That is just not true. The bankruptcy court did not even use the 5 steps of becoming a participant. It didn't need to. It did reference the years, weeks, months of service equals this many weeks of pay. So it's not true that the court ignored the severance plan. It gave a proper meaning of the word earned, consistent with the natural meaning of the word as it's used in 507A4. And as it relates to severance, context and purpose matter here. The other thing that the trustees' counsel said is that employees need to do something to earn. He keeps making that point in his brief. But the employees did do something here. They gave up very important legal rights by signing a release. That's only one part of the response to that point. The other part of the response is employees who have employment agreements and are entitled to a flat amount, $50,000, 6 months of severance, far more than the 10 or 20 permitted, what do? Well, they work for many years as well. And their pay, their severance pay, could be prorated as well. There's no theoretical or doctrinal difference between prorating one and the other, but the trustee concedes in his reply that those who get severance under an employment agreement, a flat number of weeks of severance, a flat dollar amount of severance, he concedes that all of those are earned at termination. And quite frankly, I think the case was over when you gave your perfect example of a birthday bonus. If he says you earn the $20,000 at the 40th birthday, even though it's for 20 years of service, well, I with respect, would suggest that decides the case as well. Here there is a practical effect. Let me give you a few numbers, if I may. There's $650,000 in total severance claims here. The proration that the trustee proposed would give priority treatment to only $36,000 of the $650,000. The bankruptcy court's holding does not give priority to the full $650,000, but to $560,000 of the $650,000. So there is a dramatic difference to these employees who have been waiting over 2 years for their severance. The bankruptcy court gave you some examples of the absurd results the prorating produced in this case. The bankruptcy court at footnote 10, this is at Joint Appendix 230, used employees Laufau and Fahrenkrog. Laufau had worked just over a year, Fahrenkrog just over 4 years. Laufau entitled to $1,600, I'm rounding here, $1,600 in severance, gets $679 treated with priority. Now, of course, my position is she gets the full $1,600 because it's below the dollar cap. Fahrenkrog is entitled to $3,500 of severance, but he only gets $341 under the proration scheme. Now, those are only two examples. Far worse are 4 other employees who worked between 15 and 24 years.
These arguments are equitable arguments.
That is correct.
And we really ought to be destroying two things, the statute and the plan. And I think he is deciding what earned means, number one. And number two is what a severance benefit is. And the severance benefit is earned over time. It seems to me that the trustee has a pretty good claim. If the severance benefit is just a lump sum happy birthday based on termination without cause, and if that's the main thing, it might go your way. It seems to me that's where we have focus.
You're exactly right, Your Honor, and I should have put the statutory argument first because it's what matters. The absurdity result that I was focusing on at the moment is an answer to the plain text argument. Even if you believe, which I absolutely do not believe, the plain text of the statute just automatically leads to prorating, even if it did, even Justice Scalia in Bach Laundry long ago said, and everyone, some were mad at him, he said, even when plain text leads to absurd results, well, we can't go there. So here, Your Honors, there are three dictionary definitions that matter. And what I would tell you to answer your question, Your Honor, is Webster's third is a very reasonable definition to come to be duly worthy of or entitled to bring in by way of return. That's passive income. That's not requiring an affirmative act. Of course we use the word earn to refer to passive acts at times. Blacks, the dictionary that the trustee relied on in his opening brief at least, to acquire by labor, service, or performance, to do something that entitles one to a reward. When you were colloquying with him about the use of entitlement, there is nothing wrong with being entitled.
Do something to entitle himself.
Absolutely. You do have to do something. You have to...
I understand, but in this case, the way a benefit, the way you have to need severance and the nature of severance, it's not in the employee's control.
That's exactly right. It's the opposite of the other five compensation elements listed in 507A4. That's why it's important that we not use the way that you earn those five pieces of compensation. Wages, salaries, commissions, vacation, and sick leave may easily be pinpointed as to their dates of accrual on pay periods, days of the month, whatever it may be, by the hour, by the month. Severance is exactly the opposite. So it's unsurprising that it would be earned in perhaps exactly the opposite way, namely, at the moment you're terminated without cause, and in this case, sign a release, releasing the company of all claims. The point is you can take these three dictionary definitions, cite them, and say the bankruptcy judge's, the bankruptcy court's ruling comfortably fits within these reasonable, common, ordinary dictionary definitions of the word earned. It leads to non-absurd results. It avoids them, indeed. And therefore, we affirm that that would be a perfectly reasonable way to approach, and you wouldn't even need to get into equity, policy, or anything else. So perhaps I won't even respond to those at length, but I will say his equitable argument about that we're bumping employees above general and secured creditors, Your Honors, the code does that. Congress made that choice 164 years ago, and as my brief lays out, and Justice Black did in his dissent in Embassy Restaurants, in the 50s, Congress has given this statute, this particular tiny little wage priority provision, surgical attention over the years. It has consistently liberalized it to protect employees who are uniquely positioned in bankruptcy. They cannot go out and secure their claims like other creditors. They have one source of income typically, like other creditors sell their widgets and their services to lots of people, only a few of whom become debtors. Employees give their service to one employer, and when that employer goes into bankruptcy, Congress has chosen to protect them. So the policy arguments here go entirely in favor of the bankruptcy court's ruling, not the other way. And the Sixth Circuit case...
It cuts a little both ways. If you take wages, which is the first hypothetical, the first specification, you get the wages you earn during 180 days.
That's right.
And they get bumped up. You earn the wages. You put in your time and you earn it. That verb earn, when it comes to something that's not in your control, bestowed on you by the employer, based on what the employer's conduct is. In other words, if he has a plan that says, if I happen to cuss at you on a given date, you're going to get $75 for. Question is, how can you earn that? You can't earn it. Yet during that 180-day period, the employer cusses at the employee, and the employee says, I want my $75. That's what the plan provides. He gets the full $75. And if you prorated that, you said, okay, if you're a long-standing employee of over 10 years, you get 150. So the ones under 10 years get 75, and the ones over get 150. Still, that's not in the employee's control to say he earned it. He didn't earn a thing. The plan was there, and when the employer cussed at him,
right.
If he's a 20-year employee, gets $150, and if he, or 10-year employee gets $150. If he's under 10 years, he gets $75. That's the benefit.
Yeah, that's correct.
And he'd get the full amount, wouldn't he?
I absolutely agree.
Yet with the wages, he gets only what he earns. So the question, the word earned is a difficult verb to apply to a bunch of nouns that follow.
Fair enough. And it is. That's true. It's the word that's been in there since, I believe, 1898.
Well, I know it's been in there. That's the way Congress writes.
Right. That's what it wrote. But the key here is that would be a way he earned passively. He did not cuss himself. The employer cussed him, but he still earned that money within the 180 days. And frankly, under bankruptcy policy, I have no problem.
But you have to acknowledge, if you're going to be a linguist somehow, that when you say you earned the cuss money, you really didn't earn the cuss money. It became available to you. I mean, it was
enough.
A benefit that was, became entitled to because the employer cussed.
Fair enough.
Not because the employee earned it in the sense of putting in the work and getting paid.
Fair enough. That may be, but I believe here the severance benefit.
Now, it doesn't have cuss benefits.
Right. Thankfully. The court asked about the purpose of the severance plan. The plan, again, at the very beginning says the purpose is not to provide a benefit for long service or any of that. It says, quote, to assist eligible employees upon termination of employment. Completely consistent with the provision, the passage you read from Strauss du Parquet. Severance exists to assist employees with the economic disruption they experience, not over the life of their employment when they're receiving their wages and salaries, commissions, et cetera, but at the moment of termination. Here, Your Honors, the Bankruptcy Code faithfully implemented statutory construction principles the Supreme Court has laid down just recently in an 8-1 decision written by Justice Kagan in Ransom, and last term by Justice Alito in an 8-1 decision in Lanning. In both of those cases, the court did exactly as the bankruptcy court did here, and as we've laid out here, looking at the text, considering some dictionaries, and looking at whether, you know, if there's any absurd results, and the context and purpose of the statute, the court did exactly his job. He applied those principles faithfully, came out with a good interpretation, and he deserves to be affirmed. Unless there are any other questions, I thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. McArthur. Mr. Perkins?
Your Honor, the continuing theme here in our discussion is whether the employee has control over this benefit. You've raised that question a couple times. I think it's instructive.
The reason I was trying to point out a weakness in the grammar.
I understand, and that's exactly right. And the word earn doesn't apply to severance very well. But the answer to that and how to get around that problem that you raised is to look at the purposes of the priority statute generally. Okay, and I raised this a little bit before in my opening. And I think that the quote from N. Ray Yarn is instructive. And it says, the majority rule, you ask why is the Second Circuit a minority? Yarn says, the majority rule is based on the purpose of the administrative expense priority. Generally, a claim for an administrative expense, that's to say we're going to elevate you, must be based on a benefit furnished to the debtor. So what we're talking about is, what did the employee do to earn this extra bump? Why are we going to give them
money? Except severance, by definition, is not a benefit that the employee gives to the employer.
What we have sought to do in our objection is capture that. What did the employee do here to earn the severance? I understand what you're saying. So how can we manipulate that? How can we look at the plan and look at the purpose? And so what we said was, well, the employee worked X number of days in the 180 days. All right? So
he didn't earn the benefit there. The benefit may never come about. The benefit is because he got cussed at, or the benefit is because he got terminated.
Understood. But to be faithful to the priority, the purpose behind giving priority to severance, we have to look at what benefit did the employee give to the employer. That's what the majority of courts say. That's the reason for priority. What did I do as an employee in that last few months before the company went under to benefit the company such that my claim ought to be bumped up in some way? So yes, it doesn't fit exactly, but what we tried to do was say, well, okay, let's give some credit to the employee. Even though the employer controls when he gets it by firing him, let's give credit to the employee. He worked for 50.
He didn't control when he gets it. He controls if he gets it at all.
If he gets it at all, right.
But the employer's conduct defines the benefit.
But all of these folks got fired, so they all get it. What did they do respectively to earn it? Some of them worked 50 out of 180 days. Some of them worked one. Some of them worked 179. Let's fairly apportion to them what they did during that time.
You keep trying to suggest that their working gets them the benefit, and that's not so.
I think that's the root of
the benefit. That, it defines the amount of benefit.
Well, that's...
Which is quite a distinct concept.
It certainly is, and it all starts right there. And if you don't buy my argument that it all starts there, then I'm clearly swimming upstream. But that's what the plan says. And that's what the purposes of the code are for, is what did the employee do? That's the focus of a priority statute. They're all going to get their severance. They're all going to get an allowed claim because they don't have control over that. How much of it is priority is how much they earned by doing the work. And that's what the trustee's objections are.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I hear you. All right. Thank you. We'll come down to Greek Council and proceed to the next case.